Church family, we are going to continue our sermon series in the book of 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 12. Feel free to join along in your own Bible or on the screen as the verse is read. Now hear God's word. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is nothing like this mask right now, nothing like it that reminds us of our own frailty and vulnerability as humans. Whether it is a designer mask from Gucci or a disposable mask from Walgreens, this one happens to be from Whole Foods. I never thought I would be able to buy my Happy Eggs and get a mask in the same row, but you know, this is the times. And so no matter what kind of mask we are wearing, it is in a way this kind of a gift to remind us of our own human frailty and vulnerability right now. We know why we wear this mask, of course. We wear this mask because this virus can be spread through these air currents, potentially carrying these microscopic droplets of coronavirus when we talk or when we breathe or when we cough. And we know that this mask can help us prevent the spread to someone else. It can help us be protected as well. And so I think this is now the end of this important public service announcement. I can put this down. But I want to just suggest that in the midst of this global pandemic, could this mask, could this be a gift and a spiritual practice that we are reminded each time we put on of our own vulnerability, our own weakness, our own frailty right now as humans? How might the putting on of this mask become a spiritual practice for us? In Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians, we are hearing someone also talk about their own frailty and vulnerability. Paul is describing to us his own weakness. You see, in his culture in that day, in the Greco-Roman culture, in many ways like our own, the culture really valued being impressive, being powerful, being influential. Communication was all about philosophy, rhetoric, and the way that you spoke, and the ornamentation of your style was so highly valued, even by this Corinthian church. And Paul, he just didn't fascinate. He didn't have that wow factor. He didn't come across as impressive, even to this church in Corinth. And he kept saying that in place of human philosophy, in place of human rhetoric, he kept putting the cross of Jesus Christ, because for Paul, the cross was both the wisdom of God and the power of God. Paul kept saying, "I resolve to know nothing except Christ and him crucified." If Paul had a bread and butter sermon, if he had a default sermon that he would go back to, it was the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul wasn't very impressive. He felt his own weakness, his own frailty. But he also had this astounding track record of ministry failures, of shipwrecks, of persecution, of always being afflicted, always seeming weak. And the church was asking, are these the marks of an anointed leader? Surely Paul had his doubters in Corinth. He had every reason to be discouraged in his own faith in Christ and in his own ability and his own capability of his leadership in this church. He had every reason to be discouraged at this point. But what he does is he turns his attention and he turns the attention of his listeners to verse 5. He says this. He says, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Christ. This is the message. The message is not me. The message is Christ. He says, for we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. You know, for every one of us, for every Christian, every follower of Jesus, for every person in the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, we have one message. That message is not ourselves. That message is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him raised to life. This is the message. This is it in its most simple form. This is the message. It is only about Jesus Christ. And I want to let you in on a little secret. If you can walk around here and I'll show you what's on the pulpit. This is the joy that those of us who stand up here, and if you've ever led prayers or you've led from up here, you see this note. It says, we want to see Jesus, from John chapter 12. It's this reminder that this message that we preach and proclaim is not us. It is not our power or influence or our own capability. It is only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So Paul starts there in verse 5, just redirecting in that simplest form, what is the message? It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Christ. And he goes in and he makes it really personal in verse 6. He says, for it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is it amazing? I've read this and I've just been astounded by this, that the God who spoke creation into existence, the God who spoke light into existence, that same God has shown in your hearts the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That same God has shown Jesus Christ into your hearts. This Jesus, powerful but humble, just and merciful, compassionate and authoritative. This Jesus, this is the only message, Paul says. This Jesus has been shown into our hearts. The face of Jesus, the presence of Christ into our own hearts. And this is amazing, because what Paul says is he compares our lives and holding the presence of Christ and holding this message of Christ, he gives us this metaphor of a treasure in clay jars. He presents this image before us of the presence of Christ, the light of Christ, the treasure of Christ in our lives. We are holding in these fragile human bodies. In this breakable clay jar, the gospel and light of Jesus is within us. And it's interesting because, archaeologists, they find these clay jars still there from that first century. Clay jars that would hold a candle wick, and it would just emanate light out of this clay jar. So Paul could be referring to that, the light that would be held in this breakable, fragile clay jar. Also in that day, we know that people kept treasure, valuable treasure, a hoard of coins, like a huge, ancient piggy bank. They would keep these coins in this clay jar for safekeeping during wartime during times of instability, certainly in a time of you know, that we'd be experiencing a pandemic, there'd be these coins stored into these clay jars. And he's saying that this is the way that we hold the light and the treasure of Jesus Christ, even in our fragile, vulnerable human frailty. And to me, this is so encouraging that Jesus shines through us, that Jesus, the gospel of Christ is held within us no matter how impressive we are, no matter how influential we are, no matter how capable we are, no matter what degree we hold or what degree we don't hold, no matter what the color of our skin is, whether or not we think we are capable to go through months more of the pandemic or not, Paul says, let me be crystal clear. Just 100% realize this, that this extraordinary power within us belongs to God. It does not come from us. It is not about us. It is about the light in the gospel of Jesus Christ within these fragile human lives that we live. And I read this passage and I hear Christ say, Joel, take heart. Church, take heart. When it seems that you are at your weakest point, there is Christ still shining through your frail body. When it seems as a church we are at a weak point, there is Christ still shining through the body of Christ in Hollywood. That to me is so encouraging. And I heard actually a picture of this and speaking to one of our members, Jane Smallen, this past week. Jane, as many of you know, has been a member here, and many of you know her. Jane is a person who will tell it like it is. I really appreciate that about her. But, you know, Jane, she has every reason right now to feel vulnerable, to feel frail. She discovered that she has an infection in her body, and she woke up one day and she was not able to walk. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor wasn't very encouraging and said, you know, I don't know really what the chances are of continuing to walk without a cane. And Jane just said, you know, I want to be able to go up and down my own stairs. I want to be able to go out and get the groceries. I want freedom. I want mobility. And so Jane began this goal of hers that she has these 15 stairs in her house. And she said, I'm just taking them 5 by 5. I'll do 5, and then I'll go to the next 5. And I just talked with Jane this morning. She said, I'm up to 6 stairs right now. So keep going, Jane. We are proud of you. We are with you. But what really impacted me in talking with Jane was not only her resilience and recognizing her own frailty right now, but as we were talking about the church and just hearing her perspective on things, she said, you know, I just don't want us to lose the point of all of this. I don't want us to lose people coming to Christ. I don't want us to lose that simplicity of the gospel, the evangelism, the message being spread about Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, what I was hearing was so encouraging. Because here is a woman who has every reason to think, you know, I'm frail, but she is holding within her the presence of Jesus Christ. She's holding it within her, this passion for the gospel, holding that even for our church right now. What a blessing that is. Jane is an encouragement to me right now. Because, you know, honestly, over these past 4 months, I'm guessing maybe you can find yourself here, but the past 4 months I've experienced beautiful walks. And I've also felt exhausted at times. I've been hopeful for my own future, and I've also felt deep loss about the past. I've felt a deep peace in a physical way as I walk around my neighborhood, and I've also felt overwhelmed. And all of this before noon each day. Now, you hear me, and I know you feel many of these things. But if you have at times struggled, if you at times, like Jane, have felt frail, if you have struggled at times to find your footing in the midst of this pandemic, listen again to what Paul says in verses 8. He says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies." And listen to how the message says this. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. And why? Because verse 10, Paul tells us we're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. I saw another picture of this in a woman named Isabel. Isabel was born in the city of Viña del Mar in Chile, and she was credentialed there as a family counselor, and she immigrated to the U.S. with her husband, and as they awaited the birth of their son, and they moved up to Santa Barbara close to their family. But as she moved to the United States, she found that her credentials were not recognized here in the U.S., and it was hard for her and her husband to find work. And so she began just cleaning in the hills of Santa Barbara, because there's spacious homes, and many of those homes employ Hispanic women as cleaners. And Isabel was part of this Faith and Work conference in Santa Barbara, and the pastor there was asking her a question about, "Isabel, tell us how you would describe your work." And this is what she said. She said, "If you look in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, the world is in darkness. There is no order. God is a God of order. He orders every single life, changes every life from darkness to light in Jesus. And that is my motivation as I work. Everything I do is from God. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and we are to be the same. If I am cleaning a toilet, well, that is something that needs to be done to order the world and wash the feet of others. There is no sadness about that. It's a joy." And then listen to this. The person asked her, the pastor said, "Do you ever, as you're out there, do you ever experience brokenness in those homes that you are serving?" And she said, "Of course. It's sad to see people who have everything beautiful, everything perfect, and they contract you so that their world can continue to be perfect and clean, but you realize that their life is empty. So I have to be a light for them. Every single home I go to, I pray for that family that they can find him. If he will use me, amen. If not, amen, he will send somebody else." And I think of what she's saying, Isabel, this picture of Christ shining through in her vulnerability. At this point, as an immigrant in our country, her resume is not impressive. She's not someone who is powerful. She's not someone who is influential, but her life, this fragile earthen vessel, is carrying the treasure and the light of Christ to others. This inspires me. And this also inspires me. I want to highlight just our own youth team right now. We will hear from Nick and Natalie in just a little bit as there is a transition there in our youth team. But, you know, our youth team, please send them notes of gratitude. Give them a text because they are working so hard during this pandemic. They are continuing to have Zoom meetings. They are holding book studies. And this picture here, they have this practice in the youth group of celebrating birthdays for students and praying over students. And so this picture shows our youth team, Nick, Natalie, and our pastoral intern, Nelson Steinert, going to a student's home, Brian Colts, and giving a confetti cannon salute. I am not making that up. It is a confetti cannon salute to celebrate a student in our congregation. And I look at that team, and I that is another inspiring picture for me of what it means that in the midst of a pandemic with masks on, to show up for one another and be the light of Christ and to hold that treasure of Christ for one another. So this is who the one we serve, the one we hold, the presence of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was the one, the most vulnerable, at his weakest, that he laid down his very life for you and for me, and that he was raised to life again on our behalf and on behalf of this world. If there was ever someone who was shining in a frail, fragile body, it was Jesus Christ. And I want to just invite us into a practice this week, a little different, but you know, we all know why we put these masks on. We know about the safety of that. But I want to just encourage us and invite us to this practice, if you will. When we put this mask on, we are not only recognizing our own vulnerability and our own frailty, but much more than that, as you put this mask on, remember that you are also holding within you the presence of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ in your frail human body. That is the truth and the power of the gospel of Christ for you and for me. Amen. I want to invite us now to sing of this amazing grace that we have in Jesus Christ in these broken vessels of ours. But it is this grace and presence of Christ that we will now sing about. Join us.